Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh's Radio, Yahweh's Ministry. I'll be your host. We're doing a detour, and we're going to lay the foundation of Black History Month for those that have an ear to hear the true meaning of Black History Month of February, not the old watered-down version that been parakeet. We're going to take care of that, and then we'll get back on exposing the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints. But we'll still be exposing them along the way by just reading the Bible. All right, so we're going to find our elder and bring him in. He'll tell you all about the broadcast, and the elder spreads the books out a little bit, too, because we're going to going to take care of a little business and some dust ass Yahuwah in this brand new series we're doing pertaining to Black History Month, showing you exactly what the word black mean. I mean, everything foundationally. We're going to do a spirit led through Yahuwah. Got no notes? Just do a spirit led. So we'll find our elder and we'll bring him in. And once he laid the foundation, then we'll come behind the elder, Mr. Tibbs Israel, and we'll do our part in Dust Says Yahuwah, and we'll be waiting on the young wives and mothers to come on stage, because we clear that Mr. BSJ Israel, she on stage, but I ain't ready to come on that. I ain't ready to holler that microphone on yet, sir, but give me a little more time. I got to get a little more dust off, and I'll be ready to holler in that microphone. And that's a great thing. All right. That's right. Learn. Be prepared. When you get on that microphone, holler in that microphone in grand style. Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel. Be ready.
God bless you, sir. Israel, to see you grow. How are you? God bless.
Hallelujah, Father, Elder. Well, one thing, tell you like this, Elder. We got to make a little detour and take care of what they call Black History Month, the shortest month. And we heard a lot of big dignitaries put their spin on Black History Month. But what we're going to do, we're going to come behind them all and lay the foundation, give them a bar to raise your level of understanding up. And that's for the members to take it back to their pastors and say, look here, the six anointed camps of Voices of the Truth Life have raised the bar up. Can you reach up there and grab it? So, you know, take your time and tell them all about the brand new series and Black History Month we get ready to touch on and all that good stuff. Take your time and get O.C. a chance to get himself prepared to do his part once you come off the hammer. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And as you always say, it's among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And you know, that's always a good thing, because we try to get more people to listen to this word, because teaching is very well needed out there on these days. You know, the entrance way to righteousness is very narrow. Like it tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And that's true, because you can see those people that want to find righteousness, they have a different road. They go a different way. And they try to bring others into the way that they're traveling also. And that's a good thing. We tried to touch base on a few things that we're studying last week. And that was one of the things I think was mentioned was Lee Cummings, who had written a few books about Who Am I? The entire series of a black history that was written by one man. Actually, the name to me sounded familiar when it was mentioned to me, but I had not known who it was until I actually walked through the gates of the temple. It came to me, Lee Cummings. I've been knowing him 8 to 12 years. We had been associated for quite some time. When he was sitting busy writing, everybody was wondering what he was doing. Just like us, when we're busy trying to help guide people in the right direction, everybody else is wondering what we're doing. This is why we're here, to help guide you through the dark times, bad teaching, loud bump to dumps for righteous learning and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry. Come to your life and open to you always with new exciting topics from the King James Version. first and foremost about Yahuwah's word, which we've been often asked. How can you guys get this much information out of this one book? Well, it comes from connecting the books, being taught how that works, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this and much more from this one book, and this is because you have not. The information you came to seek, you've now found it in the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Gathel. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. In those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. Now the top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time of that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, just write in that search line, type tribeyahdah.com. And after clicking it, just under the big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menus. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us to reach the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, all you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves the cheerful giving. And also the donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and mentioned once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah. Also for building a school, which I can see is very well needed on a daily basis. A banquet hall and radio station and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. So Yahuwah. We even have a calendar. Take time to check that calendar while there, which will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We even have a live program. You'll find its features available during just our live broadcast time. To get there, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into a live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribe, that's T-R-I-B-E-Y-H-D-H, at gmail.com. The other is yahdahisrael at gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or those related topics. Now, we even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message under scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone of the 6 months camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, please do not call this number trying to teach. As I have reminded you, you will only hear a discouraging click followed by a down tone. Also, by calling this number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact to see you. Use email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, it's pretty busy with the WCC. The New York station stockholder, Mr. Sigurd, and answering many memos of most of us have seen. and even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. As I said, unless you call trying to teach, you will only hear that discouraging doubt. Now, for those who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Friday. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. You do that just in the three words, Yakwah Radio Live. And after clicking that, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God, the Israelites. Just choose the program that you are late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during our normal broadcast, we are also simultaneously transmitting our information on Paltalk. On Paltalk, you can reach that by your phone, tablet, or computer. Just download the Paltalk app. We will be listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribal Yadav. You'll find our room will hold 50 or more listening participants. This is where Yahuwah's Word will also be working through the Bible education. Online there to answer those on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast would be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with the Seer Israel, writing a shotgun. During this time, we'll be taking no comments off-topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And the broad talk ends before teaching time. Not to worry. Teaching will continue on Pal Talk. God will be with you all. But remember, when we are given those scriptures to speak by the seers, always be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly. Remember that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion, as we're reminded of in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. And 33 says, "For Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace is in all churches, the purpose of the saints." Because when we do this, we always keep those righteous scriptures in mind. But when you find those that are trying to win that bumper gobs contest, they will miss all of Yahuwah's words which is said unto them. You have to remember, we are rehearsing the righteous acts to learn the words of Yahuwah. So we can start that learning process. We will pass that program back over to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Elder. That was extra on your part there, Elder. So spread your books out a little bit because you definitely will be needed in this brand new series we're doing. We're doing Black History Month. But you made some profound statements there, Elder. You mentioned somebody that needs to teach them what food to eat. So since you made that statement about what food to eat, the seer have to do some precepts on that so they can be clear about what food are you talking about, although you was talking about the food out the garden. But there's another kind of food in here that we need to make sure we eat this food, too. So we'll give you a chance to get everything spread out there, Elder, and we're going to bring the young lion in, but we're going to kind of foundation on this Black History Month and understand what the word black mean according to the Bible. Black History Month, you know, we're going to give you spirit-led understanding on what do black history means, spirit-led, with the Bible open. We don't know where we're going. We know what we're going to bring. We're going to bring the young lion in and get things going on. He'll tell you about the other broadcasters that we own. He's going to tell you all about that, too, but we're going to bring the young lion in by saying, young lion, Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yadav Judah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1. Yahuwah be with you, see you, Roy. Brother Micaiah, Yahuwah be with you, see you, Roy. What's going on with his mic?
Yahuwah bless you there, see you, Israel. of C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, there, young man. Before we give some Luke 12:12, there, young man, can you tell the elder, he mentioned that we was on PAL talking. And so can you tell the national audience over 800,000 strong in that society, what else are we on this brand new series of Black History Month here? Come on.
Hey, Yahweh bless you. This is Real D. Roy. We live on PAL Talk. We live on Facebook. You can catch us on Facebook at BOTTY. We also live on YouTube. You can catch us on YouTube at BOTTY, Tribe YHDH. We also live on Blog Talk. So you can catch any one of the broadcasters. You can tune in, pick the one you want to listen to, sit down, get your pen and pad, and write out a lesson and ask questions. Over back to you, Sis, where to see what.
Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Young man, let's get something going on then.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Now, Elder Mr. Tibb, you made a profound statement about some foods to eat, but we know you was talking physically. But we want to do the double meanings on food that you eat according to the Bible. We have to be careful about some food to eat in this Bible, Elder Mr. Tibb. So we know you're going to spread your books out by now. So take a look at Ezekiel, Elder. Let's find out about a food that's in this Bible that we need a big better full of it too. And in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, and 7 down to verse 10. Elder, Mr. Tibb, this is what we found out about food that's in this Bible that we got to make sure we eating some of this right here too. Ezekiel 2, 1, 2, 3, and 7 down to verse 10. What it say, Elder?
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 3 and verses 7 to 10. One says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand up on thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. 2. And the Spirit entered unto me when he spake unto me, and set me up on my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to the rebellious nation that had rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. 7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they are most rebellious. 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. 9. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and to a roll of a book was therein. 10. And he spread it before me, and it was written within it and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe."
So Ezekiel was sent. So what was Ezekiel was told to eat, Elder?
He was told to eat the words that was given unto him. Kind of breaking up.
Israel. See, Roy. All right. Might have a little interference there, Elder.
Yeah, I was kind of breaking up a little bit. But
all right.
Again, he had to open up his mouth and was given the words of what he should eat. And don't be like that rebellion.
Uh-huh.
Don't take those words that are given.
Uh-huh. And who was this talking to, Ezekiel, to do such a thing in that 1, 2, and 3? Who is talking to Ezekiel about this, Elder? Me in town to get ready, young man.
Well, you speaking to the children of Israel.
Who is speaking to Ezekiel? Who is telling Ezekiel this?
Yahweh.
Who? So Yahweh is telling Ezekiel this. Then he's telling Ezekiel where, and Yahweh is saying where I want Ezekiel to go, Elder. Now, where do YHWH tell Ezekiel that he want him to go? Ezekiel's here. I want to send him where, according to 7 through 10. Where is he going? In time to get ready, young line. No need no space there.
Okay.
So where is he saying to go to? So we find out that it's Yahweh is talking, and he's talking to Ezekiel the seer.
The children of Israel.
To do something and go where? That's what I want to know. I want to know that for the national audience. Yahweh is talking to Ezekiel. Do something and go where, according to 2, 1, 2, and 3, 7 down to verse 10. That's what Hosea want to know.
He told me to go to the children of Israel.
So who is telling him to go to the children of Israel?
Yahweh told Ezekiel the seer to go to the children of Israel.
Oh, so this is Yahweh talking. So Yahweh is telling Ezekiel the seer and telling exactly where he wanted to go is to the children of Israel. Excellent. That's what I want to hear. Now, and Elder, in Ezekiel chapter 3, 1 down to 4, can you read that, Elder? And let's see if we expound on that. Ezekiel 3, 1 down to verse 4. What does it say, Elder?
Ezekiel chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 4. 1 says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. 2. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy vows with this roll that I give thee. Then he did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey was sweet."
One, two, four. Three, four.
"And he said unto me, Son of man, go unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them."
Mm-hmm. Now, Elder. So now we find out, we clear that Yahweh is doing the talking. And he got the attention of Ezekiel, the seer. And so now he wants Ezekiel to stand on your feet, hear what I got to say, and what else he's saying in 1 down to 4 that the national audience needs to hear. What is he saying so profound in 1, 2, 3, 4 that we can take out of this for to edify them on the network? What can we take out of 3, 1 down to verse 4? Break that down, Elder, come out.
After Yahweh got through speaking to Ezekiel, he wanted them to go unto the family of Israel and speak the words unto them.
and speak who words to them. And when he go there, who words will Ezekiel the seer be speaking?
He will speak in the words that Yahweh gave him to speak.
Excellent. Excellent. So when Ezekiel the seer was to go, he was to speak the words that what Yahweh gave him to do. So Ezekiel only be doing his job. Now, I need a precept on that, Elder. Give me Jeremiah 30, verse 1 down to verse 4. I need a precept there, Elder. And then we want to be clear that when you read this Bible, we're trying to give you the right. Otherwise, remember the Elder said about give you the right diet, the right stuff to eat. Eat from what Yahweh tell you to eat, how he set up the protocol who you're supposed to eat first. See, once we find out who's supposed to eat first, then we know if it's the first, then it got to be a second, but the first got to be eaten first. Now we got a precept after the Elder take care of that business. What you got, Elder? Come on. Jeremiah 30, 1, 2, 3, 4.
In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, reading verses 1 to 4. One says, the word that came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, 2. Thus speaketh the Yahweh of Israel, saying, write these all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. 3. For lo, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, Yada, saith unto the Yahweh. And I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. 4. And these are the words that Yahweh spake concerning Israel, concerning Judah.
So now, Elder. So now, when we read this Bible, who is the words concerning to Ezekiel, to Jeremiah? Who's these words concerning to, according to 31, 2, 3, 4? So when you're reading this Bible, you know, if you're reading something, suppose you're in a penitentiary. You say, well, I'm reading this, but this is concerning what? So when you read this Bible, what you just got through reading, 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, what is that telling us for the national audience to get some, what's called some new eyes on this? What's going on in 31, 2, 3, 4, the Elder? What's going on with that verse? It's time to get ready, young man.
Sorry about the delay. When he returned back to the land that they gave their fathers, he wanted them to speak the words that Yahweh gave them concerning Israel and Judah.
Now, so the first one that the seer is supposed to go to, according to the Almighty, the first one he's supposed to make.
All right, the Israel, Steve Roy, you see that?
Thirty verse four.
And these are the words that the Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. So the first one was concerning Israel.
So now you line up with the Bible. So now what you have laid out there showing soundly that when the Almighty, you know, got an order about things, and the first thing the seer is supposed to go to first is concerning Judah and Israel. The first priority that you're supposed to do. Now, we got that down. Now we can move. we got that part down pat, and we just piggyback on what we just got through reading. So I need to get one precept on that, because I say you need to go to Judah and Israel first. I want the Almighty to tell that story, young man. Let's go to the 15th chapter, verse 21 of Matthew's. Now, I want you to pick up at verse 15, but I want to get down, keep reading down, and I want to stop when he tells somebody eyeball to eyeball what's the order of this thing. Take your time in 15:21 of Matthew's. What we're trying to get is the order of things.
All right.
Take your time. 15:21 of Matthew's. Come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21. Verse 21 reads, "Then Yahweh the Son went there and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." Verse 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Yahweh, you son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Verse 23. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us." Verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel." Verse 25. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Yahweh, help me." Verse 26. "But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs." Verse 27. "And she said, True, Yahweh, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table."
Yeah, but I'm looking for one word there, young man. I said stop at one word. It's one word I want first. I said I want to have one word out the way. So stop. Stop at the verse with, give us one word. Back up a couple of verses and just walk into the order of things.
All right. We're going back to verse 23 reads, "But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us." Verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel."
Keep reading.
25. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Yahweh, help me." Verse 26. "But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs."
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good enough. I was looking for a word in there. I'm looking for a word called, I didn't want to tell us afterward. Maybe I can get it somewhere else. I'm looking for a word called, I was looking for a precept word.
I know what you
mean. And I'm looking for a word that I don't want to say. I don't want to say what I'm looking for. But if the word I'm looking for, maybe I can get the word.
It's in the book of Mark.
We'll
pick it up at Mark. The book of Mark. We're going to pick it up at chapter number 7, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 24 and read it to it. 24 reads.
Mm-hmm.
"And from there, he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. But he could not be healed." 25. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." Verse 26. "The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." Verse 27. "And Yahweh the Son said unto her, Let the children first BP."
Excellent. That's what I want. Excellent. But I'm saying that's what I want. See, I want somebody else to kind of lay that out. So we found out there's an order about things. So when Ezekiel went to the children of Israel, because that's the order of the Almighty. So when you're teaching the Bible, the first thing, once you know you are a teacher of Israel, the first thing you're supposed to do is go to the children of Israel. And what order again there, young line?
Say it again, sir.
And what order do you supposed to go to the children of Israel according to his own mouth? What order?
First.
So now once that's understood, that's how it go. Now we just could do a little precepting in Matthew chapter 10. Now whatever, why we on this, we don't know yet, but we'll have to lay some foundation down, because what happens, a lot of people be having a lot of statements to make, but they make it out of order. So let's find out exactly what he said again to the one that to carry his word. We're going to Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 there, young line. And we're going to read down to verse 8. We want to find out some more on the way to find out some more. We're going to Matthew's. We want to hear what the mighty one says. What do he say in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 down to verse 8? Now, what do he say?
The book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 down to verse number 8. Verse 5 reads, "These 12 Yahuwah the Son sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the family of Israel. Verse 7, and as you go, teach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give."
Mm-hmm. So you see, that's the order of things. See, we have to know the order. You know, everything got order. You got to order when you go punch your time or card in. But orders come from the Almighty One. He give you orders, and if you follow orders, you will see things. You won't get so excited once you see the order of things. So now, in Matthew's 1:21 there, young line, can you help those see? I'll get a couple more. We'll see him grab the elder and go another way with something real quick. In Matthew's chapter 1, verse 21 says what? Matthew's 1:21. What does it say there?
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 reads, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yahuwah the Son, for he shall save his people from their sins."
And he gonna save his people from his sin. Now, we're gonna precept that, young lion. Now, who is his people that he gonna save from their sin? Remember, we're talking first. So they is already prophesied that this child was to save his people from their sin. Now, we're going to find out what is the name of his people that we can read by precepting your Bible. We're going to see if we precept the Bible and find out, well, who is his people that we can read. And the best way you do that, you have to precept your Bible. We're going to Luke chapter 24, verse 21. 24:21. We're going to lay this foundation. Then we will get right into, again, Black History Month. We understand it is an order that he passed down. And if you follow the order, you'll see things more clearly than when somebody else step up and say, "I'm the giant." He says, "Wait a minute, you ain't the giant." But it might be a midget talking, saying he the giant. But if you ain't got nothing to compare to, you say, okay, well, you the giant then. But we going to make you think a little bit in this brand-new series called Black History Month. And we're going to break that word down, black, what it means, according to the Bible, and to who? Shortly. But let's find out he going to redeem, he going to save his people. So we're going to Luke 24, verse number 21. Can you help those say out there? Let's find out exactly who is his peoples. Come on. Luke 24,
Book of Luke,
21.
Book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 21. 21 reads, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this.
Redeem who?
David,
redeem who?
Redeem
who?
Israel.
Oh. We trusted in him to redeem who again, y'all line?
Redeem Israel.
To redeem Israel. So that's how you tie it in. So that's how you deal with the Bible. You got to precept your Bible. So you always tell them, yeah, that sounds real good, my brother, my sister. But why can I read anything that you're saying? Why can I read it out of the Bible? Take my Bible and show me where I can read what you're saying out of the Bible. Now, don't get excited, my brother. Just show me in the Bible. That's all. I mean, you're talking good, but can I read what you're saying? That's a game changer. And once you tell them, let me read what you're saying, it's just like you driving an 18-wheeler and a deer come right before the truck. Their eyes are light all the way up because they got nowhere to go because everything they have received has been parakeeting. No factual definition when you ask them one thing. Can you show me where you get that from that I can read? And you shut them down right then and there. That's how you close the game. The game changes. The game fills up just like that. They say, yeah, that sounds real good, but what can I read to that? See? And remember, you always going to be outnumbered. Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibb, you're always going to be outnumbered. Let's go to Isaiah 60. Now, remember one thing. You will never be where you're the majority at when it comes down to doing this man's business. You're always going to be outnumbered. Why we know that? Because we're going to read it in 60, verse 22. Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibb, what do it say in Isaiah 60, verse 22? So always remember, wherever you go, when you're dealing with this word, you will be outnumbered. How we know? Because we're going to read it. We're going, an elder going to read Isaiah 60, verse 22. What does it say, elder?
Looking at the book of Isaiah, reading chapter 60, verse 22. 22 says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Yahuwah, will hasten it in this time.
You see that? A little one going to chase a thousand. A little one going to chase a thousand. Keep that in your mind. You see that? So you're always going to be at a disadvantage according to numbers. But really, you're not disadvantaged according to the Bible. You got them where you want them at. The more family members, the better. The more, all y'all come. And I tell you what I do for y'all. I put Robo at the door and let nobody leave until we finish out what's going on. That's what I do. I'm going to put Robo at the door. Might put old Lucky at the door. Put Lucky at the door. Hey, Lucky, go stand by the door, but nobody leave until I give you the okay they can leave. We're going to read a little Bible. That's all. We're going to read a little Bible. And let's see what you're saying that we can read, or is you just parakeeting some statements? So now we find out that one going to chase a thousand. Now, let's see what the Almighty said about that, Elder, in the 18th chapter of Matthew, 1, 2, and 3. Let's see if we precept that. But look what he says about this. Matthew chapter 18, 1, 2, and 3. Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel, what do you say about that? 18, 1, 2, 3.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 to 1 says, at the same time came the disciples unto Yahuwah, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Two, Yahweh called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Three, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven.
And let's go to St. John and get a bit more of that, Elder. We're going to St. John. Now stay in Matthew 25. We want to get a little bit. And he makes a statement about these little ones there. Now, the little ones he's talking about, you know, the little ones. And he's going to make a statement about the little ones that we can read there, Elder. Let's see what he says in verse 40 and 45. We're going to Matthew 25 and look at verse 40 and 45. What it say, our Elder? Come on. 25, verse 40 and 45. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 and 45. What it say, our Elder?
The book of Matthew, chapter 40. Looking at 45, looking at 40 and 45. 40 says, and the king shall say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as we have...
Hey, young lion, pick that up until the elder kind of point that belt at them big old robots over there making all that racket. So kind of pick that up for a minute until the elder kind of get everything straightened up. Matthew 25, verse 40 and verse 45. Young lion, bring it.
The book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 40 and verse 45. Verse 40 reads. Read down to 45 or just 45?
Read verse 40 and 45.
45, okay. Verse 40 reads, and the king shall answer and say unto them, truly I say unto you, and as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brother, you have done it unto me. Verse 45, then he answered them, saying, truly I say unto you, and as much as you did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me.
So he letting you know one thing. When you keep on jumping to his little ones, you know, the ones that to teach this word and show you what this Bible's saying, you got a problem with, he say, it's just like you're doing to me. But he's saying, he's taking notes on it, and he said, when it's all said and done, this is what you got for to look for in verse 46.
46 reads, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Verse 30.
Verse 30 reads, cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer dark. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
And gnashing of teeth. So now you see, now that's the price. So now give me a precept on that in 2 Ezra 7, 56 and 57. Give me a precept on that. So you understand one thing. It is a price to pay to always have a comeback statement. But have you noticed they never have a scripture to back up anything they're saying? But they got plenty of tongue and cheek. But if it's that important, we're supposed to be able to read it all together. That's the game changer. Anybody can bump the gums. Anybody can have opinion. Opinion is just like re-ins. Everybody got that. But if it's important and you really got a lot of fire in your statements cut off the mouth, then why can't you open up my Bible and show me where I can read what you saying? What's the difference when you ask that question? So now what's the reading there, young lion?
2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse 56 and verse 57. Verse 56 reads, For while we live and committed sin, we consider not that we should begin to suffer for it after death. 57. Then answered he me and said, this is the condition of the battle, which man that is born upon the earth shall fight.
Mm-hmm. So you can bet all the ones that have lied to you like a rogue, and they on fire, laid down, went to sleep. I don't care if they bury it up under the basilica or whatever. That's when the beatdown comes in. You think they on laid to rest? No. That's when it starts. That's when all that lying you've been doing, all the lying they have passed on, said, well, they done died, now they in peace. No, they not in peace. Nope. They're not in peace then. Let's get another piece up on that young line. Let me show you that. In the 7th chapter, verse 12 and 13 of 2nd Ezra. See, you're not in peace. See, you think because when you teach bad and you just go on somewhere and lay out and lay your nice little funeral out there on you and you think it's all over. They're resting in peace, huh? Let's find out, do the Bible support that? If you're still in the 7th chapter, I'll pick it up around by verse number 12. There, young lion, 12 through 14. Let's see, do your troubles, is it over with, or do it just begin? 7, 12 through 14, 2nd Ezra, come out.
Book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 12 down to verse 14. Verse 12 reads, then were the entrances of this world made narrow, full of sorrow and travail. They are but few and evil, full of peril and very painful. Verse 13. For the entrance of the elder world were wide and short, and bought immortal fruit. Verse 14. If then they that live labor not to enter these straight and bang things, they can never receive those that are laid up for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, back up to 13, that I missed my hit there, young man. I need me a hit. But what happens after we shut this thing down, according to the seer? I'll back up a little bit more. I don't want to go all the way to 7, but I want to go where it look directly at it and what do
all right.
The spirit of the Holy Ghost was saying to 2nd Ezra. He was telling exactly what happens after you shut this thing down, so Ezra put it in writing, and what did he say? In what verse?
The verse 21.
What verse, young lion?
Verse 21.
Okay.
All right. Picking up at verse 20 down to 21. Verse 20 reads, for there be many that perish in this life, because they despise the law of Yahweh that is set before them. Verse 21. For Yahweh has given straight commandments to such as came, what they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment.
Mm-hmm. Read another verse.
22. Nevertheless, they were not obedient to him, but spake against him, and imagined vain things. 23. And deceive
mm-hmm.
themselves.
That's good, young lion. Keep the mirrors wide open. So here's the point. When we shut this thing down, don't worry, you will be busy because you have to be busy on, you know, some things, but we're not getting it off in that. But don't think that if you don't lie like a rogue, you will be paid a visit. And it won't be from Michael. Keep that in your mind. But that's another lesson. Now give me Acts chapter 5, verse 29 down to verse 32. Then elder, help me Proverbs 21:16 waiting on me, elder, Mr. Tibbs. Proverbs 21:16, have that waiting on me. Acts chapter 5, 29 down to verse 32. What does it say?
We're going over to the book of Acts, chapter 5. We want to pick it up at verse 29 down to verse 32. The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29 down to verse number 32. Verse 29 reads, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey Yahweh rather than man. Verse 30. The Yahweh of our fathers, the Yahweh the father of our fathers raised up Yahweh the son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31. Him hath Yahweh the father exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Verse 32. And we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom Yahweh hath given to them that obey him."
To obey them, they got to understand what 31 is saying. Now, how do you obey him? By understanding what he just said in verse 31. What did he say in verse 31 again?
The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 31 reads, "Him hath Yahweh the Father exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins."
You see that? So now you're on the right course. Yeah, did you hear anything about the Christians, Muslims, all the ones that got them religious and big old big dignitary titles? No, it don't work like that. So that's why I say, make them get in the Bible and put their case on with the Bible open. So you make them put the case on with the Bible open to debate you. But how about reading some Bible? How about do a little reading in the Bible? They ain't won't do that. They won't see how they can quote the English language. No, it don't work like that. Whatever you got to say, show me where we can read it at, then you expound on what you're reading. Like, case in point. Hey, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Israel, Proverbs 21:16, what it say?
In the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse number 16, it says, "The man that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead."
You hear that? So if you wander out of the way of understanding, you're going to remain in the congregation of the dead. And you're going to have something working with you, Elder, in 29:18 of Proverbs. So this is what you're going to be about that we can read. Proverbs 29:18, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, Israel, come on.
In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law or Torah instructions, happy is his sheep."
So if you ain't got no vision, Elder, what will happen to you, Elder?
You're going to diminish. You're going to perish.
According to that verse. You're going to perish. If you ain't got no vision, you're going to perish because of what? According to that verse 18. According to what? By not doing what? According to verse 18.
Law.
Well, you don't have vision of the law.
Excellent. Excellent. So if you ain't got the law, you're going to perish because you have no vision. Because the law, Elder, in Romans 7:1, can you help those see out in the national audience about the law that they said done away with? But let's see, the same Paul going to tell you about the law in Romans 7, verse 1. What about the law in 7, verse 1, Elder?
In the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse number 1, one says, "Know ye not, brothers, for I speak to them that know the law or Torah instructions, how that the law or the Torah instructions hath dominion over a man as long as he lives."
So as long as a man lives, he under the law. As long as a man lives, he under the law. only law been done away with is the killing of the animals. As long as you live, you up under the law. Skip down to 10 through 12 and 16 and 18, Elder. 10 through 12, 16 and 18. Same book, Romans 7, 10 down to verse 12, 16 and 18. Come on.
The book of Romans, looking at verses 10 to 12 and verses 16 to 18. 10 says.
16 and 18.
And
16 and 16
18. 16 and 18. Got it. 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. 11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me.
Ten down to 12, 16, and 18.
12. For therefore the law is righteous, and the commandments righteous just as good. 18.
So we find out that the commandments, the law, is just, righteous, and good. So it's good. 16 and 18, come on. What does it say, Elder? 16 and 18.
Verse number 16 says, if then I do that which I could not, I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. 18. For I know that in me, that it is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to I will this present within me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
And what is good in verse 16 again, Elder? Let the national audience understand what is good in verse 16 and verse 1. What's good to Elder? 16 and 1.
Consent unto the law. That's
verse
it.
16. Yeah, what is it saying in verse 16 and read verse 1?
If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. That is good. Verse 1.
Mm-hmm. Verse 1.
Nor,
verse 1.
Verse 1.
Verse 1.
Nor if you not, brothers. Nor if you not, brothers. Verse 1 says, nor if you not, brothers. For I speak unto them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives.
Yeah. So the law have dominion over man as long as he lives. Hey, young man, what it says behind that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. What does it say, that young line?
All right, we're going over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we want verse number 3 and verse number 4. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 reads, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Yahuwah's Son, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living Yahuwah, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the mind. Verse 4.
I got a question for you, young man. What you read? What do you read? You reading 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Verse 3 and 4, what you read?
Yeah, verse 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 and verse number 4.
Okay. Well, tell you what, make that chapter 4. You write that, young lion. You write that, make it chapter 4. Because I know we ain't hearing what we used to hear. So evidently, maybe we got to go to chapter 4. Make that chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Let me make a note of that myself. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 3 and 4. What does it say that, young lion?
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 3 and verse number 4. Verse 3 reads, "But if our covenant be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Verse 4, "In whom the Yahweh of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious covenant of Yahweh the Son, who is the image of Yahweh the Father, should shine unto them."
Okay, so we find out. Now, if they do not understand this thing, because they are what? Because they are what? Now, once we show scripture, sound scripture on some things, and they still confused, according to the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, what is he saying again there, young lion, verse 3 and 4? Can you help those see out? What is he saying? What do we look once we show them what the Bible is saying? And they still have a problem with the Bible saying, according to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Can you help those see out on what they're saying here? Come on.
Wait, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3, he's saying that they are lost. And in verse 4, he said they is blinded.
No, who blind them? But who blind you? According to verse 4.
He said, in whom the Yahweh of this world, the Yahweh of this world had blinded them, their mind.
And so the Yahweh of this world is who when you precept your Bible? Let's go to Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. See, you got to find out, well, who is this? He said, you lost to the Yahweh of this world. But who is the Yahweh of this world have blinded your mind? See, now you got to precept your Bible. Because when you show your loved ones the scriptures, and they still got a problem with what you're showing them, what they read themselves, then you understand the Yahweh of this world have blinded their minds. So let's find out who the Yahweh of this world that we can read by going to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Let's find out who can we read that have that power that we can read. Come on.
The book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and verse, I mean, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and verse number 2. Verse 1 reads, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin." Verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience."
Oh. So when you show your loved ones sound scriptures, we just get things warm, laying the foundation, and they still going to kick against it, then you understand that the prince of this world have blinded their mind. Because anytime you try to hold up what the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints is saying, and you, I ain't heard their name mentioned at all. I ain't heard nothing about their name mentioned at all, unless I'm saying it, but in the same token, but we ain't read no message was given to them to have the mouth going, period. It's no message in the Bible was given to the Catholic Church. There was no message in the Bible given to the Latter-day Saints. Not what you can read. So that's what we're saying. What if the message was given to you that we can read? That's what we want to know. We're going to find out something. Now, so we found out. Now, the Almighty Son made a statement about that, young lion, in the 14th chapter of St. John. Can you help those see out? He said something. And Elder, Mr. Tibbs, tell me Jeremiah 2, verse 26, then go right down to St. John 10, 1, back to back. But he said something, young lion. He was talking to his disciples, the followers of Yahuwah the Son. He looked them eyeball to eyeball, and he said something to them that we can read. And what did he say to them? He said something in verse 28. He made something plain with them in verse 28. He said something to them. Then he tied it in what he's talking about in 29 and 30. So young lion in the 14th chapter of St. John, he told them something in verse 28. Then 29 and 30, he sealed the deal. And what did he say? Come on.
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 28 down to verse 30. Verse 28 reads, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." 29. "And now I have told you before it's come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." Verse 30. "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me."
I ain't got something. He said, "Oh, Satan, the devil coming, and he got how much in me?
Nothing in me."
How much?
Nothing in me.
Nothing in me. So, and we clear that Satan visits the Catholic Church 7 days a week. We clear about that. We can read that, but not in this lesson. He said, I ain't got too much to say to you now. But I'm telling you, when the prince comes, and matter of fact, go reach the prince. Look, WCC said, now see, you got to give me a precept on that prince now. Okay. You want to get a precept on the prince. Let's go to Enoch chapter 26. 26:12. Let's get a precept on the young lion. So we're saying right now. Now he's saying that, listen, to those going to be carrying my word. He said, now I'm going to leave and go back and sit on the right hand of my Father. He said, but the prince of this world is coming. He's going to be in your ear. But keep one thing in mind, he ain't got nothing in me. What he's saying going to be as far as east meets the west. Up to you now. Take your time and understand one thing. And the prince of this world, he got a number one target he come to every day in the week. He told Enoch to write it down about this prince, about Satan going to visit somebody every day in the week to find out what the more Israelites doing. Can I accuse them on anything else? We're going to read it. We're going to let Enoch tell you the story about who visits who and when that we all can read together. We're going to the book of Enoch, 2nd Enoch, chapter 26, verse 12. Let's read a little bit. Young lion, take your time, and let's find out who do Satan visit 7 days a week that we can read. Come on.
All right, we're going over to the book, third book of Enoch, chapter 26, verse number 12. Verse 12 reads, "Why are they called seraphim? Because they burn the writing tables of Satan. Every day Satan sits together with Samuel, the prince of Rome, and with Dubiel, the prince of Persia. And they write down the sins of Israel."
Hold on. These princes, he sit with these princes. I mean, the high leadership. In this case, the prince he sit with is the Pope. He sit with the Pope. So Satan come down and visits the Pope. That's the prince of Rome. The head man in charge, Satan come down and sit with him. Let's see what they talk about. Come on.
"And they write down the sins of Israel on their writing table, which they hand over to seraphim, so that the seraphim can present them to the righteous one, blessed be he, so that he should eliminate, destroy Israel from the world. But seraphim know the secrets of the righteous one. Blessed be he. They know that he does not want the people Israel to perish. What do the seraphim do about this? Every day they receive the tables from the hand of Satan, and they burn them in the burning fire, which is near the high and exalted throne. They do this in order that the tablets should not come before the righteous one. Blessed be he. When he is sitting upon the throne of judgment, judging the entire world in truth.
So you see, so we can read what Satan visits the Pope of Rome every day in the week. And when Satan sent his man down there to visit in his place, all they want to know is who we don't have and who can I accuse back to the mighty one. He's the only one you ain't got. It's the six anointed council voices of the two Israelites. Everybody that you got, why so? You just don't everybody else call them Lord God and Jesus? Yeah. Well, you got them. Majority of them keep Sunday, first day of the week. Eat hog. They eat hog on every day. They eat hog. He said, you got them already, but who we don't have? He said, the only one you don't have is the six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelites. They keep on putting the thing on you. And we got no answer with the Bible open. So we will have to figure out to do something else to them. And what you getting ready to read, Elder? Let's talk about it, Elder. Jeremiah 2:26, still down in St. John 10:1. Elder, Mr. T of Israel, let's read a little bit. Come on.
Okay, in the book of Jeremiah.
Where are you, Elder?
Looking at chapter 2, verses 26. 26 says, as a thief, as a shame, when he is found, so is the house of Israel, family, shame. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, tears.
Good. Now, they bishops. And they princes and they bishops. But here's the point. A thief ain't never shame until he what, according to that birthday, Elder. A thief ain't never shame until he what, according to 2:26. Huh? A thief ain't never shame according to 2:26 of the wind. Come on, young man.
What are you found?
A thief ain't until he found. So he ain't never shame until he caught up, until you catch him. You know, you got brothers out there that tell you what you need for your car. What you mean? Well, I need my car. Oh, if you need a part for your car, I can go get it for all you. Say you have the money. Now, how you gonna do that? You look at the part still? No. I go get off somebody else's car and bring it and put it on yours. They ain't never shame until they caught. They keep stealing until they caught. You know, people do some things and they ain't never shame until they caught. They'll try to grab your identity. They ain't gonna be ashamed that they caught. They won't mercy after they get caught. They'll steal your identity, like the world up there now. They'll throw the children of Israel identity. They're not ashamed.
Hallelujah. Well.
Until now, you catch them and say you stole my identity.
Hallelujah.
I'm the children of Israel. You the sinners of Esau. But now you want to get ashamed now, see? But you're not ashamed until you're caught. And so when you're caught there, Elder, what did Almighty say in 10:1 behind that? What did he say in St. John 10:1? Elder, Mr. King of Israel, come out.
In the book of St. John, chapter 10, looking at verse 1. 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, by the door unto the fold. But climbeth up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber.
Oh, so Elder, if you come up another way and try to insert yourself in where you don't belong, that according to Almighty, you are what? According to Almighty in 2:1, when you try to do this thing another way, then what that make you again, Elder, according to 10 verse 1 of St. John?
The same as a thief and a robber.
Ain't that something? So we got, I wonder how many thieves and robbers out here. So when you come up another way, you a thief and a robber. Now, Elder, let's precept that. We're going to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 9. Let's precept that, Elder. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 9. What it said? Galatians 1, 6 down to verse 9. What that say?
In the book
Galatians,
of Galatians
chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 9. What it say, Elder?
In the book of Galatians. Chapter 1, looking at verse 6 to verse number 9. Verse 6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Yahweh the Son, unto another gospel covenant. 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the covenant of the Yahweh the Son.
Go ahead.
8. But though we or a minister spirit from heaven can of the gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accused. 9. As we said before,
our curse. He said they bring you any other teaching than what you have heard from us. He said, let them be a curse. That's what he just say. He said, if they bring you any other thing than what you hear from the six anointed camps, let them be a curse. Read the next verse, Elder.
Next verse, number 10. For do I...
Nine. Hold on, Elder.
Nine says, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel covenant unto you that you have received, let him be accursed.
Read that again.
9 says, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
You hear me? So if they bring you any other thing than what you have received, let them be a curse. That was the man trying to tell you. Let them be a curse. That might be your closing, might be your bed partner. If they're going to bring you something we can't read, they're going to tell you, well, my feelings are telling me. No, your feelings ain't got nothing to do with it. If you feel that anybody out of the six anointed camps is wrong, then I got my Bible. I got my pad and my pencil. Show it to me that I can read it and write it down. Now, then you look right in their eyes and watch. It's like you done them wrong when you say that. Read it. Read that to me. You see? So Elder, when we read the book of 69 verse 4, what is our mission in Psalms there, Elder? What is our mission that we can read in Psalm 69:4? What is we trying to do 6 nights a week and be back on tomorrow at 6 o'clock? What are we trying to do that we can read? And 69 verse 4. Help me out there, Elder, Mr. Tibbs. Come on.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse number 4. 4 says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that will destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I could not away, which I took away.
So read that bottom part again. He done what?
Okay, I kind of stumbled on that. they that would destroy me,
mm-hmm.
being my enemies wrongfully, they are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away.
See, we haven't taken nothing from you. We just trying to show you that the way you've been taught is wrong. Now, we properly you have the spirit of what Paul had, Elder. Paul, once he found out that he was in error, Paul said something in 1 Timothy 1:13. See, when you got the right working with you, you look right down at 1 Timothy 1:13, Elder. Help those see out in 1:13 what it say. 1:13. 1 Timothy 1:13.
In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, looking at verse 13, it says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
You see? See, you got to, you know, you got to suck it up. Say, well, listen, I thought I was right, but according to the Bible, I'm wrong. So Yahweh got the mercy hand out for you, but you got to confess that you've been taught wrong. Christianity, Islam, Judaism, you've been taught wrong. His hand is out for you to repent and say, I've been taught wrong. I thought his name was Lord God and Jesus. But now you know his name's a four-letter man. So now, Elder Mr. Tibbs, in the book of Psalms, chapter 95, verse 7 down to verse 10, help those see out in Psalms 95, 7 down to verse 10, what it say.
In the book of Psalms, looking at chapter 95, verses 1 through verse number 7 through 10. 7 says, for he is our Yahweh, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice. 8, harden not your hearts of mine, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. 9, when your fathers tempted me, provoked me, and saw my work. 10, for 40 years long I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts of mine, and they are not, and they have not known my ways.
So you see, he said, today, if you hear his voice, he said, harden not your head. You know, you got to look at your degrees you got on the wall and all that hard learning you want to learn from Satan the devil and put it to the side. That's all he's saying. Precept that you're learning, give me Hebrews chapter 3, 7 down to verse 15, 18, and 19. Let's precept that. Let's see when Paul was invited to the great big temple of the Almighty. And Peter gave him the microphone. And let's see what he said that we can read in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 down to verse 15, 18, and 19. Young lion, bring it.
Okay, we're going over there to the book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 3. We want verse 7 down to verse number 15, and then we want 18 and verse number 19. The book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 7 reads, wherefore, as the righteous spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. Verse 8. Harden not your mind, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 9. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said they do always err in their mind, and they have not known my way. Verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12. Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil mind of unbelief, and departing from the living Yahweh. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Yahweh the Son, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your mind as in the provocation. Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Look what he's saying. He's saying that, he said, now when you hear today, when you hear this word, harden not your head. He said, don't harden your head. Now, what he's saying, WCC, we got to mute the ill. He do talking for the nice broadcast. Real. One thing about it is your radio station, so you do what you got to do, and we do what we got to do. So you're online, you're on your own for this broadcast. We'll see what we got. So now, so we find out one thing, that don't harden your head when you hear the truth coming out. When the truth come out, don't harden your head. The Bible tell you one thing. You walk away from the Bible and come back and see the change. If it said the same thing, then go with it. Now, in the book of Galatians there, young lion, we got a good old hour stretch, so let's stretch it out and see if we can get in here in Galatians chapter 4:16. What does it say that we can read in 4:16? Come on, El. Young lion.
We're going over to the book of Galatians. We're going to pick it up at chapter 4. We're going to pick it up at verse number 16. The book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 16 reads, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
And then that's what we want to know. We're going to teach on the black history, but we have to follow the rules and regulation when Yahweh want some things laid out. Are we going to talk on black history? Might get a little bit in this broadcast. But in the same token, you have to know the movers and the shakers. And remember, we teach from Luke 12:12. So this foundation has to be laid to understand something. If Yahweh got anything to say, the YHW man, H-man, the first thing he's coming to is the seer. And the seer is going to take it to the elders, and the elders are going to take it to the teachers, and to get down to the fathers and the mothers. That's the protocol. And we know it always going to go to the children of Israel first. There's nothing going to the Catholic Church or the Latter-day Saint but Satan the devil. He going to visit them. And you got to understand that. We read that. They shows up 7 days a week, like they say, every day you honor him. Every day they honor Satan the devil. Because we read every day he shows up to the poke of Rome in the book of 3rd Enoch 12:26. Or was that 26:12? Which one was it there, young lion? Which one was it? What verse was that again? 12.
The book of 3rd book of 26, Enoch, chapter 26, verse 12 reads.
So Satan visit. So, you know, they talks about I worship him every day. And but the one that get worshiped every day is who again? According to Poker Rome, and what verse is it? What verse again?
Verse number 26:12.
Third book of Enoch, 26:12. So you get that every day you worship him. All day the Almighty tell you make sure you keep righteousness. Sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. So that's days is work days. But you said, well, I worship him every day. Yeah, just like Satan shows up on the poker room every day. That's the same mindset you got when you break it down, that everyday stuff. But you got to have some days to do some work. Now, okay, good. So we found out, do we become your enemy in Galatians 4:26 because we tell you the truth? That's all we're asking. Do we become your enemy? Because all we do, according to St. John 3:11, is what? Hey, young lion, what do we do out of the 690 camps according to St. John 3:11?
That's right. The book of St. John. We're going over there to the book of St. John. We're going to pick it up at chapter 3, verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness.
Mm-hmm. And when we're doing it, how do we do it? According to 1 Peter 4:10-11. And so we testify what we know, and how do we do it? According to 1 Peter 4:10-11.
All right, we're going over there to the book of 1 Peter 4. We're going to pick it up at verse number 10 and verse number 11. The book of 1 Peter 4, verse number 10 reads, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of Yahuwah. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Yahuwah. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which Yahuwah gives, that Yahuwah in all things may be glorified through Yahuwah the Son, to whom be praises and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. So now, so when you speak the Almighty's words, make sure the first thing you do is have a verse on the table. And take all the long time you want to explain that verse. Don't break out in your feelings. Because that's not, y'all put a verse on the table. Then you expound on the verse that we all just got through reading. Then you take the time and expound on it. Whatever point you want to bring out on it, bring it out. And we will be all ears. But don't speak on your feelings. Because that's not Yahwali. When you speak on your feelings or what you think or what you feel, it don't work like that. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1 there, young lion, what it say in verse 22 and 23?
All right. We're going over there to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22 reads, how long, you simple one, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorn, and fools take not? Verse 23, turn you at my reproof, correction. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
You see what you say? So here's the point. That is the rules and regulations. So if anybody want to do some conversation with you, okay. I got my Bible. I got my pen, my pad. Where do you want me to turn to? Watch how that conversation sounds like crickets behind it. When you drop that on, okay, that sounds real good. No problem with that. I got my Bible. I got my pad. I got my pencil. Where do you want me to turn to? See? Now watch what happens. I like to be a fly on the wall when you say that to him. Now, so, I want to take a look at something, young lion, because if you call lying on one point, you're guilty of all. Now, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 2 there. Young lion. And we'll look at verse 1 and 2, then we'll skip down to verse 11, 16 through 19. And I don't know what you get out of this. We're going to Exodus chapter 2, 1, 2, verse 11, then skip down to 16 through 19. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 11, then skip down to 16, down to verse 19. Come on.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Exodus. We're going to chapter 2, and then we're going to skip down to 11. 16 and down to verse 19. The book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 1, read. And there went a man of the family of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. 2. And a woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Verse 11. And it came to pass in those days that Moses was grown up, that he went out and unto his brothers and looked on their burden, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Israelite, one of his brothers. Verse number 16. Now the priest of Midian had 7 dogs, and they came down and drew water and filled the trout to water their father's flock. Verse 17. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Verse 18. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon today? Verse 19. And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock.
But I thought that was Levite, Moses the Levite delivered them. But they looked at Moses the Levite and called him Egyptian. So the 7 daughters read at Moses and called him a Egyptian. 7 eyewitnesses looked at Moses and called Moses the Levite an Egyptian. 7 looked at him. We write this down. 7 women looked at Moses and they called him an Egyptian. Good. Let's run to the book of Acts 21, 37 down to verse 40. Let's find out what's going on here. We're going to Acts 21, 37 down to verse 40. Now, you got 7 women looked at Moses the Levite, and the women mistaked him to be an Egyptian. Good. We're going to Acts chapter 21 and look at verse 37 down to verse 40. What did it say there, young lion?
All right, we're going over to the book of Acts, chapter 21. We want verse 37 down to verse number 4. Acts chapter 21, verse 37 reads, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto you? Who said, can you speak Greek? Verse 38, are not you that Egyptian, which before these days made an uproar and leadeth out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? Verse 39.
Hold that point. Put a marker right there. Now, the Greeks, big dignitary asked Paul. He said, Paul, can you speak Greek? He said, aren't you that Egyptian that led 4,000 men out and that was murderers? What did Paul say that we can precept and come right back before we read 39? What did Paul say out of his own mouth in Romans chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, half of verse 2? What did Paul say out of his own mouth?
All right, we're going over there to the book of Romans. We'll pick it up at chapter 11. We want verse 1 and half of 2. The book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 1 reads, I say then, have Yahweh cast away his people? Yahweh forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2. Yahweh have not cast away his people, which he foreknew.
Hey, that's up. No, Pastor, no, Mr. Big Dignitary Greek. I'm not Egyptian. I'm an Israelite. But he was looking right at Paul. Thought Paul was a Egyptian. Now, let's go to the Zalmer's Bible Dictionary and tell me, according to the big dignitaries and scholars of the world, what do the Egyptians look like when we go and read about the sons of Ham? And what page you get ready to read out of Zalmer's Bible Dictionary, the Compact Bible Dictionary, they have the same page. So we found out that seven women looked at Moses, thinking him for an Egyptian. Good. Then we found out the big dignitary looked right at Paul and asked Paul a question. Can you speak Greek? He said, aren't you not that Egyptian that led out 7,000 men that were murderers? He said, no. According to 11 verse 1 and 2, he said, no. I'm an Israelite. And I know what tribe I'm from. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. And Benjamin today, what you call Jamaicans. Huh? He said, that's who I am. So, we want to read the Compact Bible Dictionary or the Zalmer's Bible Dictionary. They both got the same page about the sons of Ham. Let's see what it says about the sons of Ham that we can read. You want to talk to that young lion? Come on.
Okay, we're reading from the Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary on page 213, Ham. Ham, the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of eight persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark race, not the Negro, but the Egyptians.
But the who?
The Egyptians.
He said he became the progenitors of the dog race, not the Negroes, but the Egyptians. So what color is the Egyptians, according to their own book? What color is the Egyptian that we can read out of Zalmer's Bible Dictionary, page 213, or the Compact Bible Dictionary, page 213. So when the seven women looked at Moses, they called him an Egyptian. When the big dignitary that was in power looked at Paul and called Paul an Egyptian, what did he see according to the Zalmer's Bible Dictionary, the definition of Egyptian? What do you see on page 213? What did he say there, young lion?
He said he became the progenitor of the dark race. Dark.
The dark race. So he thought Paul was of the dark race of the Egyptians. So Paul and Moses was mistaken to be a member of the dark race, the Egyptians. Now, Egyptians got a problem. And we go on read, and you tell me when you hear the word Egyptian, stop at it. So we're going to find out in Genesis 10, verse 6, let's find out about, matter of fact, read what do Ham means. Read, look into that Zalmer's Bible Dictionary, and tell me what do Ham mean. Ham
right.
is the second-born son of Noah. So what do the definition of Ham mean that we can read? What do it mean? Come on.
Ham means hot. The youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 A.D.
Well,
before
well,
the
on,
flood.
Hold on, that young man. Hold on. So we got to get more information on what do Ham mean. We need more information. We read that already, but I thought maybe your book might have a little bit more. Ham means black, hot, burnt face. That what ham means, hot, burnt face. So you got to have the proper tools there, young man. So you might have to put one thing down and grab something else, but ham means, that what ham means. So that's when you put up your other information, like the metaphysics of the Bible, and look up ham, and it'll tell you what ham means. See, black. So ham means black. That's good. So since we know ham means black and burnt face, ham, that's what ham means. So we have to go to other reference to bring it out. Now, so we got that part. So ham, now in 10:6, now, so this burnt face man, that means ham means black, had a family. In 10:6, let's find out what did he have in his family that we can read. 10:6, let's talk about it. Come on.
All right, we're going over there to the book of Genesis. We want to read chapter 10, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 6. The book of Genesis, chapter 10, verse number 6, verse 6 reads, and the sons of Ham, Cush and Mezarim. And Foot.
Take your time there, young man. I need four names.
Okay.
I need four names.
The sons of Ham, Cush and Mezarim, Foot and Canaan.
Mm-hmm. So all them, whatever your daddy is, that's what you is. Ham means black. Burnt face. So Ham got a firstborn son, Cush, Mizraim, that's what you call Egypt. So Egypt is the same word as Mizraim. He named his son Mizraim, and big dignitaries call him Ethiopians, Egyptians. So we clear up that his son was named Mizraim. Mizraim, that was his name, Mizraim. Good. So we find out that these are dark-skinned peoples. So Paul and Moses was mistaken to be dark-skinned peoples. Now, I want a question to be asked. Answered. Time, I don't care how much drink you drink. Would any of the children of Israel could be mistaken for John Wayne or Elizabeth Taylor at any time? I don't care how much you drink. You think anybody of the children of Israel can pass for John Wayne or Elizabeth Taylor or Beirut or President Kennedy? At what time could any member of the children of Israel pass for them? At no time. See, I don't care how much you drank it. They were never say that you resembles John Wayne or Elizabeth Taylor at no time. They don't act like that. But these people identify these big dignitaries of the children of Israel as dark-skinned peoples. They thought they was from the descendants of Ham. Huh? Good. All right, good. Now, let's go a little further with some more big dignitaries there, young lion. We go on and look at, we know Paul was mistaken to be a dark-skinned man. When you go to the Vatican City, you see a pale man. But the Bible says, the Almighty says, I don't care how much I beat you, children of Israel. But one thing I'm not going to never do in Isaiah 29:22, that the Almighty says about the children of Israel. He said, I'm going to beat you, no question about it. I'm going to beat you for a long time. But I tell you, ever since I did with Miriam, I told Osir, I'll never do that again. what can we read that he'll never do again? What verse are we going to read, Jay Young Line?
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 22. Verse 22 reads, therefore thus says the Yahuwah, who redeemed Abraham concerning the family of Israel. Israel shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale.
He said, I don't care how much I beat the children of Israel. I'm going to beat them real good because they're hard-headed people. I'm going to beat them. And matter of fact, he says in Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10 about these children of Israel. He said, now, I'm going to beat them. But one thing I'm not going to do, because I remember back in the days when I turned Moses, our sister Miriam was 86 years old, to look pale. And Moses had a fit. He started crying to me. Aaron started crying to me in the 12th chapter of Numbers. They had a crying and cry out. So I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to beat them, but I'm not going to do that no more. So one thing I'm never going to do is turn them to look pale. Pale what? Genesis 25:25. Pale what? What kind of pale children of Israel would never look like? Genesis 25:25. What it say?
Going over there to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. We're going to pick it up at verse number 25. The book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 25 reads, and it first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau.
So what kind of pale would the children of Israel would never look like again, no more, after I got through with Miriam? According to what we can read, what kind of pale that the 12 tribes of Israel would never look like, according to Genesis 25? What kind of pale that young line?
Pale red.
Pale red. He said, I'm going to beat them. Matter of fact, I told Jeremiah in the 13th chapter, 8 through 10, on what I'm going to do to the children of Israel. What did he say we can read in 13, 8 down to verse 10?
All right. We're going over to the book of Jeremiah. On chapter 13, we're going to pick it up verse 8 down to verse number 10. The book of Jeremiah, the seer, chapter 13, verse 8 reads, then the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 9, thus says the Yahuwah, after this manner will I mark the pride of Yajaju and the great pride of the northern kingdom, 10 northern tribes. Verse 10, this evil people which refuse to hear my word, which walk in the imaginations of their mind and walk after other Yahuwah to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girl, which is good for nothing.
Ain't that something? He said, one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to never turn you again pale red like we did for Miriam. He said, but I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah, the children of Judah, they are an evil people. Refuse to hear my word. And that makes them good for how much their young line?
Good for nothing.
Good for nothing. He said, I'll throw you good for nothing. But one thing I'm not going to do on you, I'm not going to do. It will be no member of the children of Israel that I will put on them the pale red look. So the children of Israel do not look pale red because the Almighty said. And he made a profound statement about his word there, young lion, in Titus 1, verse 2. Now, this is what he said. So when he says something, he helped somebody to second that emotion. Titus 1, verse 2, what did he say?
I'm going over to the book of Titus, chapter 1. We're going to pick it up at verse number 2. The book of Titus. chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 2. There you go. Hang on. Book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2.
Titus, chapter 1, what it read?
In hope of eternal life, which Yahuwah, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
So he ain't lying. So if he say what he not going to do, then that's the way it is. So if nobody pale red can say they're an Israelite, because he said he not going to turn no more pale red Israelites. It was Miriam back there in Numbers 12. He said, I'm not going to do that no more. Because the children of Israel, they had a cry in and cry out. They had to tell their sister Miriam, go somewhere for 7 days. Go. Get. For 7 days. In Numbers 12. And we'll just wait on you. But you got to leave the tribe. So Miriam went somewhere for 7 days. Then after that, they didn't journey not until she came back with that good brown on her again. Then they took out moving again. So you see, so Miriam from that point on, the last thing she was going to do is run the jibber-jab against the decision of what Moses brought to the table or higher leadership. Do that again. Because, boy, that's one thing she didn't want to do. She didn't want to look like Marilyn Monroe or Elizabeth Taylor.
She said,
I don't want to look like Marilyn Monroe or Elizabeth Taylor. Children of Israel didn't like that. But look at you now. You got more Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor in you today because you've been taught wrong. But the children of the book, they want to look nothing like John Wayne or Burt Lancaster. Burt Lancaster. They didn't want to look like that. But look at you now. So that's the point we're making. When you talk in Bible, you cannot have the statue of Paul looking pale red because he was not depicted as pale red. He said he's an Israelite. And the only thing you can compare Paul to is what's written in Lamentation. That you can't make him pale red. But in Lamentation, the only thing you can compare Paul to that's an Israelite. We go to Lamentation and see what can you compare Paul to since he's a Benjamite. And the only thing you can compare Paul to, according to the Bible, not no statue, this is what you compare Paul to. Give me a name in 4 verse 2. There's only thing you can compare Paul to now. You want to compare Paul, and you will make a statue when he said don't do it, but if you decide to want to make one, you want an image in your mind, this is what you compare Paul to in Lamentation 4 verse 2. What do you say there? 4 verse 2.
The book of Lamentation, chapter 4, verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, the precious sons of Yada Judah, comparable to fine gold, how are they seem as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter.
Mm-hmm. So the only thing you compare the Israelites, and Paul is a Benjamite, you can compare him to fine gold. That's it. That's the only thing that's compared. The only fine gold that we know of, I mean, is abundantly, is over there in Fort Knox. So if you're taking a member of the children of Israel and you stick them right next to Fort Knox gold, you won't even know they're in there because all of it look, that's the only thing you can compare them to. Fine gold. That's it. They can, right now, a member of the children of Israel can get to Fort Knox. If the alarm go off, don't worry, don't move. Just stand next to the gold. They'll never be able to pick you out because you compare to fine gold. And guess what your face look like? Verse 8. Make us look good in verse 8 there. Be on my mind. Make us look good now. Come on.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 4, picking up at verse number 8. Verse 8 reads, their face is blacker than a coat, than coal. They are not.
Answer. That's it. Their face is blacker than a coal. Their face is blacker than a coal, and it's comparable to fine gold. So remember, if you ever do something wrong, if you want to hide out, go hide out where some gold at, and they'll never be able to find you because you blend into fine gold. Gold and you is interchangeable. Perfect match. Fine gold. And your face is blacker than a coal with the precept of Songs of Solomon 1 verse 5. And that black that you have on you, not pale red, black. According to the wisest man in the world, I'll tell you exactly what that black looked like. And Songs of Solomon 1 verse 5. What did it look like there, young lion?
Going over to the book of Songs of Solomon. The 1, verse number 5. Verse 5 reads, I am black, but comely.
I am black and comely to you, O daughters of Yahda. I'm black and beautiful. I'm black and beautiful. That was the man just said. So when you see the word black, according to 1 verse 5, that is beautiful. Moses, black and beautiful. Paul, black and beautiful. Only thing you can compare them to is the Fort Knox gold, which is interchangeable. They can be hearing the alarm go off. All you got to do is take your clothes off and stay next to the gold. They said, we know the alarm going off and something going on, but why we can't find this person? We know they're in here somewhere. All we see is gold everywhere. And guess what? That's the only thing you comparable to by the potter's hand. It's fine gold. And who this potter is? Let's go to 18th chapter and find out more about this potter. Find who this potter is and what he owns. See the potter. Remember the potter. We're going to find out this potter. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, there, young lion, remember, the only thing you can compare the children of Israel to, black is beautiful, and it's black is beautiful. You only compare them to fine gold. That's it. That's it. Now, the potter hand is into this. This is something that he did. Let's go to 18 chapter Jeremiah, look at verse number 5 and 6. Now, when we get on tomorrow night lesson, so you be clear about these colors. We found out the big dignitaries of the Bible, they compare to fine gold, and they black and they beautiful. And verse number 5 and 6 going to tell us something that we can read. What can we read in Jeremiah 18, 5 and 6?
Going over to the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 reads, then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, verse 6, O family of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, says the Yahweh? Better as the clay is the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O family of Israel.
You hear that? So the Almighty is the one shape you the way he wants you to be shaped. He made you look identical to fine gold. Black is beautiful. The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. So the blacker you are, the more Yahweh got a likeness to you. You come in many shades of brown. But the blacker you are, the more Yahweh got a liking to you. Black of the berry, the sweeter the juice. So you don't take a backseat to nobody with your black self, because that was Yahweh made you. And he said, and this is what he said about that. Let's go to Ezekiel and see what he said about that. Now, we're going to precept and see what he said about this good old black and beautiful look. He talks many, he let everybody tell his story. You just got to know how to precept your Bible. Let's see what he says about this black and beautiful look. So those who try to take away from, why? Let's see what he says about it. We can read about this black and beautiful of Ezekiel. Let him get in there and let him talk about this black and beautiful. What it look like? Remember, the series now is a brand new series. We talk about Black History Month. We send things up where you be clear who is what. In the 16th chapter of that young line, matter of fact, before you read that, I want to read something about Ezekiel before we talk about Ezekiel the seer. Go back to the 8th chapter. Let's talk about Ezekiel for a minute. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 3. Can we talk about Ezekiel for a little bit and tell me what you think about what the Bible said about Ezekiel? 8, verse 3.
All right. We're backing up to the book of Ezekiel chapter 8, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 3. The book of Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 3 reads, "And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the vision of Yahuwah to Yadaju, to the door of the inner gate."
That's good. He's taking me by, what is another word for lock of the hair, young lion? What is another word for the word called lot? He took me by one lot of my hair. That he say. What is he talking about, young lion?
All right. We're going over to the book of...
What are you talking about? Hold on. Braids. He's talking about braids. So Ezekiel had braids. So Ezekiel had on braids. Ezekiel hair was braided up. They call it plaited up, braided up. It was called locks in the days. The mental spirit taking Ezekiel with them braids, yes, braids, and his big old bushy braids in his head.
Hallelujah.
And he picked him up by one of them braids, just one of the braids, and taking him over to peep at the children of Israel, of Southern Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
See that? One braid. Mm-hmm. One braid. He took him by one braid of his hair. So the seers of the Bible had braids on, braids in the hair. Is that what we're reading in 8 verse 3?
That's what we're reading in 8 verse 3. Hallelujah.
Is that what we're reading?
Hallelujah.
Now, if that's what we're reading, they had braids in the head. Now I want to go to 2 Kings for a minute there, young lion. And I want to read something else about the seers of the Bible. I'm going to 2 Kings chapter 1, and I need to read a little bit more about the seers of the Bible, because all of them, they can depict them. A question was asked about somebody, and we want to see what did they say, because a big dignitary asked a question about this man, and we want to know what's going on that we can read. We go on to 2 Kings chapter 1, and we want to find out something in verse 7. Let's find out in verse 7 what's going on. 1 verse 7, we just want to find out what's going on about the seers of the Bible, because a question was asked about the big king, the big dignitary, about, why do you bring me this message back? And I sent you tell one thing, telling me something else. Now, what happened that we can read in 1 verse 7? 2 Kings 1, 7. Let's read a little bit, young line.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 1, picking up at verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, "And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words?" Verse 8, "And they answered him, He was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Seer, the Tishbite.
Mm-hmm. You see, otherwise he had some hair on his face. He was a hairy man. He had some hair on his face. He had braids in his head. He had a nice old beard on him. He wasn't smooth face. He didn't look like no lemon or onion. He had hair on his face. And he had braids in his head. So this is the one that the Almighty was dealing with. The one that had braids. And he told the big dignitary, he said, who is this that can come back? I told you to do one thing. You come back and tell me what he said. Who interceded my word? He said, it was a hairy man. You know, he had braids in his hair. And he was a hairy man. Hair on his face. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that's how the children of Israel, you know, they got a lion looking face, a lion. A lion got a beard all the way around. And they got braids in their head. That's the one that Almighty was dealing with. And that was only Ezekiel. That was Elijah. All of them. They look the same way. Huh? They done the same thing. All right, good. So we got that out the way. So we got the parents on them. So we got parents on the seers. The seers is they got a beard on, hairy face, and they got braids in their head. We got that part. Now, let's go and get another big dignitary. We're going to, and then you think about what's going on over there in the Basilica. Statue of Paul and Peter. So we find out that Paul is an Israelite, mistaken for an Egyptian, dark skin. So that statue you got over there is supposed to be a dark-skinned man with hair on his face with braids. Talk about somebody else. Acts chapter 10, verse 24. We're going to Acts 10, 24 down to verse 28. Let's talk about this guy. Let's talk about, remember, over there in the Vatican City, you got statues. And all of them is pale red looking. And if you caught on a lie at one point, you guilty of all. Let's see what Peter looked like. Acts chapter 10, verse 24 to 28.
All right, we're going to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 24 down to verse 28. Verse 24 reads, and the marvel, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and their friends. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. 27. And as he walked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. 28. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Yada Jew keep company come unto one of another nation. But Yahweh has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean.
He said, now he identified himself. He said, it's an unlawful thing for a man that is Judah to keep company with any other nation. So Peter just identified himself as Judah. Now he just identified himself as Judah. A polluted word called the Jew. But he identified himself as Judah. He said, I'm a man of Judah. Is that what we're reading here, or young man?
He said he's from the land. He said he's from Judah. Yada Judah.
That what he's saying? What did Job say? Let's see what Job said he looked like in 30 verse 30. What did Job say he looked like?
All right. Well, it's the Collins board. Going over there to the book of
Job. What did he look like?
Going over there to the book of Job. It's the Collins board. Chapter 30. We're going to pick it up at verse number 30. The book of Job. chapter 30, verse number 30 reads, my skin is black upon me, and my bones are burnt with heat.
My skin is black and beautiful on me. My skin, Joe Ishikar's boy said, my skin is black and beautiful. So when you put, we see the word black in the Bible, knowing you got the wisdom of Solomon 1, verse 5, comely means beautiful. Job said, my skin is black and beautiful on me. Is that what he just said, that young lion? That young lion, that what he said?
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's what he said. It's black and beautiful on me.
Okay, let's read wisdom of Solomon one more time. And we're going to take a note of that because I'm going to take a couple more shots at this thing. And I want you to be to tie it in and go ahead and start. Go back to Wisdom of Songs of Solomon, 1 verse 5. I want to make sure we got it down pat. Because when this word come up again, I want the other part for somebody to say it ain't in there. He said, well, according to the wisest man in the world, he said, I'm black and beautiful. And beautiful, we got the word comely, and comely means beautiful. So read. So get that up in your spirit, 1 verse 5 there, young lion. Then we're going to go a little further. And we're going to see what you do some great justice for the sixth anointed camps when we come back at it again. What it says in Psalms of Solomon 1 verse 5.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Psalms of Solomon, verse 1 and verse number, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, I am black but comely, O you daughters of Yah-Jah-Ju.
And what do black mean? Well, comely, what do comely mean?
I am black but beautiful, O you daughters of Yah-Jah-Ju.
I'm black and beautiful. I am not no but. Ain't no but in there. But I'm black and beautiful. That's what he's saying. I'm black and beautiful. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm black and I am beautiful. Oh, you daughters of the southern kingdom. That's what he say. So we got that understanding on the table there, young lion. Let those see out a little bit there, young lion. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 21. Let those see out a little bit there in Jeremiah 8:21 there. Now, Jeremiah talking about himself. Let's see what he says about himself that we can read. Remember, this is Black History Month, and we laying the foundation, and then we move. When we get ready to take care of King James and Zora and them, we already got the foundation laid. So when we get there, we won't be fumbling all around that they're coming up maybe in this lesson. I know it'll be in tomorrow. Let's see what Jeremiah said about himself in 8:21.
We're going over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, and we're picking up at verse number 21. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 21 reads, for the hurt of the daughter of my people and my hurt, I am black, and stones have taken hold on me.
I am black and beautiful. I am black and beautiful. When you see the word black, you got to bring it and beautiful. How we know that? Let's read it again. Songs of Solomon 1, verse 5. When we see the word black, you got to put the rest of it to it. They say if it ain't in there, then you take them back to Psalms of Solomon 1, verse 5, and say it is in there. 1, verse 5, bring it out.
The book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, I am black, O you daughters of Yah-Jah-Ju.
Excellent. I'm black and comely means beautiful. Comely means beautiful. And who we call him beautiful, let's go and read it. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 2, verse 1. So who he calling beautiful? Who is he talking about? All we got to do is precept our Bible, 2:1. Lamentations 2:1, come on.
All right. We're going to the book of Lamentations, chapter 2. Let me go pick it up at verse number 1. The book of Lamentations. Chapter 2, verse number 1 reads, how hath the Yahuwah covered the daughter of Yah-Jah-Judah with the cloud his anger and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel.
The black and beautiful beauty of Israel. Black and beautiful. Black and beautiful of Israel. And beautiful of Israel. Today it is right there. That word commonly, black means beautiful. It is right there. What are we going to read it? Beauty of Israel. So there it is there. There it is. See, we got to help our Bible a little bit there, young lion. Because all this is going to come up. And you got to tie it in because all the statutes they got, it don't fit the Bible. We're going to the fifth chapter of Lamentation. Now, see, you really knock out the park there, young lion. Look at verse number 11 and get worn up in verse 11. 11.
All right.
We'll read 13 and 11. Read verse 8. Read verse 18 and 11. Then we're going to see what you get out of this when I put another verse on you. Let's read verse 18 and skip up to verse 11.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 18, skipping up to verse number 11. Verse 18 reads, because of the mountain of Yadaju, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Verse number 11. They ravish the women in Yadaju and the maids in the cities of Yadaju.
And what do they look like in verse number 10?
Verse 10. Our skin was black and beautiful like an oven because of the terrible famine.
Excellent. Peter says that he from Judah. Judah is black and beautiful. That's what Peter said. Now, I wanna see somebody give me a shot of the Vatican City. You got Paul and Peter up there. Do you got them according to the Bible or according to your own imagination? I'd like to see. Because I heard you got statues of Peter and Paul there. Is they black and beautiful statue, or do you have them what the Almighty said he'll never turn them pale red? How do they look? So you go on your Google map and pull up the Vatican City when they show you Peter and Paul. Is they showing you the one of the Bible, or is he showing the imagination of Satan the devil to them? Which one are you doing? Remember, if you found guilty on one point, you guilty of all. So if you done the Maccabees 3:48, was it prophesied you were going to do it? Did you fulfill that prophecy? Let's see that you fulfill the prophecy of 1 Maccabees 3:48. I want to know that you fulfill that prophecy that's written in Maccabees 3:48. What did it say that, young liar?
All right. We're going over there to the book of 1 Maccabees. We're going to pick it up at chapter 3. We're going to read verse 48. Verse 48 reads, and laid open the book of the law, wherein Esau and his five sons had sought to paint the likeness of their image.
They painted the likeness of their image. What is their image according to 25:25? What is their image? What image did they paint? You mean they paint the likeness of their image? What they look like in Genesis 25:25?
We're going over to the book of Genesis. And we're going to read chapter 25. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 25. The book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 25 reads, and the first came out red, pale red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau.
Now, I wonder how did you paint Peter and Paul? Did you paint him like Esau, pale red, or did you paint him according to the Bible? Which one did you do? What is the likeness of yourself? Esau, you pale red. And how I know you pale red? Because I can watch the 10 o'clock news tonight, and I can look at your shirt going to be white. and your face going to be a total different color. So all I do is look at your shirt or look at the drywall, and you would not match up to your shirt or your drywall, but you'll match up to pale red. So we can identify you. Now, good. Now, the Almighty told the Son of Man with the braids in his head, where he had his beard going all around like a lion, hairy man. He was talking to him in the 16th chapter. He was telling Ezekiel with the braids in his head something there, young man. He was want him to go to somebody in 16 verse 1 and 2. What he's saying in 16 verse 1 and 2 of Ezekiel the seer. So he pulled Ezekiel by the braids, by one braid of his hair. He had braids on. He sent the middle spirit down there and just, whatever he was doing, sitting on the dock of the bay, he reached down and grabbed by that one lot in his hair. He probably had like seven, like Samson had, seven lots, braids. Picked up one more bushy braids. Picked him up in there. Tuck him over there. That night he'd been talking to him in 16, 1 and 2. What do you say there, young lion? 16, 1 and 2.
The book of Ezekiel the seer, chapter 16, verse 1 and verse number 2. Verse 1 reads, again, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 2, Son of man, cause Judah to know her abomination.
So you see, so he want those seers, listen, I'm going to tell you about them, tell you about me. And you go over there and tell them about their abomination. He said, tell them that how they stand in verse 5. What do you say about them in verse 5?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 5 reads, none I pitied you to do any of these unto you, to have compassion upon you. But you was cast out in the open field to the loathing of your person in the day that you was born.
He said, remind them, Ezekiel, that they was in bad shape. When I pulled Moses to the side and he was over there in Egypt, they was in bad shape. He said, remind them of their foundation, that they was in bad shape and that nobody pity you. You know, then what do you say he did in verse 6?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse number 6. Verse 6 reads, and when I passed by you and saw you polluted in your own blood, I said unto you when you was in your blood, live. Yet I said unto you when you was in your blood, live.
Ain't that something? He said you was at your lowest point. He said you was drowning in blood. And I told the blood back up off of you and live. He said, remind them, Ezekiel, that I told them, you go tell them that they was in bad shape. Nobody pitied you. I passed by you first to see if you have any way to get out your blood. You had no way. You're at your worst point. What the next verse say?
Chapter 16, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, I have caused you to multiply as the bud of the field, and you has increased and waxing great, and you are come to excellent ornament. Your breasts are fashioned, and your hair is grown, whereas you was naked and bare.
Ain't that something? So Ezekiel had to go tell them, look here, you know, you see, we forget. We always forget what Yahuwah saying. He makes it plain to you in the book of Judges 2, 1, 2, and 3. See, he make it plain, but you forget. He said you forget everything. Judges 2, 1, 2, and 3. He said, you have a problem. That's why you always got to send somebody to remind you, and to start with the seer, to remind you on some things that can get you in a lot of trouble, but he always sends somebody to tell you how you come out of this trouble. But you will get so comfortable and you forget. Let's see what he says in 2:1, 2, and 3 of Judges. Come on.
The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 1, read. And the angel of Yahweh came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I am you, let me see, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land, of this land. You shall throw down their altar, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why has you done this? Verse 3.
You see the man's
wherefore
man.
I,
go ahead.
Verse 3. Wherefore I
go ahead.
Also said, I will not drive them out from them before you, but they shall be as thrones in your sight, and their false Yahweh shall be a snare unto you.
It's going to be a thorn in your side. It's going to be like something sticking you in your side because you have made leagues with them. I told you what not to do. Look at today. You're making leagues today. Not only making leagues today, you know, not that you can't, you know you got to work among all nations. Things you say not to do. You know, like bed partners, relationships. Yep. That what league he talking about. You know you got to exchange things with them. That's true. But he's saying now you have turned this thing into a relationship. And that's what he's saying about making a league with them. Yep. But we don't forget everything. So now our ministry got to come back and show you the reason you're in condition right now. Because you make leagues with the other nations. And he ain't talking about you working. Now he's talking about the other things you do after work. That's what you have did. And keep one thing. And when you do these things, this is what happened that we can read. We're going to Numbers 36, verse 1. Let's take our time and read and show you what happened. When you violate the Bible scripture and you're not brought to the table for you to see these things, that starts your downfall in the mind because you're begot and your preachers won't teach you nothing. But since it's Black History Month, we're going to the 36th chapter and we're going to read a little bit. And you tell me where you stand at after we hear the radio. 36 verse 1, let's read a little bit. Come on.
All right. We're going
Numbers.
Over there to the book of
36, pick up verse 1. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Numbers?
Yep, Numbers 36, pick up verse 1.
Numbers.
We're going to read, I tell you what, for time's sake, going down to verse 5. Pick up verse 5 for time's sake. 5.
All right. The book of Numbers, chapter 36, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 5. The book of Numbers, chapter 36, verse 5 reads, this is the thing which the Yahweh doeth commanded. Verse 5. The book of Numbers, chapter 36, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, and Moses commanded the children of Israel, according to the word of Yahweh, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well.
Kiri.
Verse 6. This is the thing which Yahweh doeth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their fathership they marry. Verse 7. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel should keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his father. Verse 8, and every daughter that possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the families of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his father. Verse 9. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Verse 10. Even as the Yahuwah commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. Verse 11. For Malach, Tirzah, and Hoglah, and Malachi, and Noah, and the daughters of Zelophehad were married unto their father's brother's son. Verse 12. They were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. 13. These are the laws and the judgments which Yahuwah commanded by the hands of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho.
So what did you get out of that, young lion? Since you're stumbling and bumbling all through that, what do you get out of that? Mm-hmm. So what do you get out of that when you hear there was a problem? So they want to know because I like this person, that person like me, and all that good stuff. But according to the law of Yahuwah, what do you get out of this right here? You just got to read from 5 down to verse 13. What you get out of that, young lion?
Well, what I got out of this was that you can marry within inside of your tribe. If you're married within inside of your tribe, you don't get your inheritance of your father's. So you lose the inheritance of your father. But you can't have a wife that's outside of your tribe, and she can't have a husband outside of her tribe. If you do that, you out of your inheritance.
You will lose your inheritance. Now, you see, So you might gain the world, but you lose your soul. See, you might gain the world on what you're doing, but you lose your soul because you no longer up under the protection of Yahuwah. Because Yahuwah said, don't do that. You only marry among your tribe. Whatever tribe you in, that's where you find your better half from. And that is the foundation of understanding. But now if you do it otherwise, you go get somebody outside of your tribe. You just lost your inheritance in Yahuwah. Maybe you had a good feeling for 2-3 weeks, but that's the feeling of the world. But as far as Yahuwah concerned, you have lost your inheritance when you see someone of another tribe bed partners. You just lost your inheritance, according to Yahuwah. Is that what we read, young man?
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That's what we read. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
So, and the reason he said this, he told Osir to piggyback off of this in Sirach 26:19-21. See, remember, when he says something, it's not just for that time, because of another seer had to pull that verse, because he seen that same spirit working itself up in his days. So the mental spirit came back to him to remind him what's written in Numbers 36. Let's see what he says in Sirach 26:19 down to verse 21. What did he say that we can read?
The book of Sirach, chapter 26, verse 19 down to verse 21. Verse 19 reads, my son, keep the flower of your age sound, and give not your strength to strangers. Verse 20. When you have given a fruitful possession, though all the field, sow it with your own seed, trusting in the goodness of your stock. Verse 21. So your race which you leadest shall be magnified, having the confidence of their good descent.
Yeah, well, you start back over because you left out a key word by putting another word there, young line. Come on back through 19 again. Take your time there, young line. Got got a few more good minutes. Read verse 19 again. One verse at a
verse
time.
19, the book of Sirach, chapter 26, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, my son, keep the flower of your age sound, and give not your strength to strangers. Verse 20, when you have gotten a fruitful possession through all the field, sow it with your own seed, trusting in the goodness of your stock. Verse 21, so your race which you leavest shall be magnified, having the confidence of their good descent.
What is he saying? What is he telling those seers to remind them in that field there? What are you saying when you get, you know, well, you get grown, and I'm big, I'm grown? But he said, this is what you do when you big and grown. He says, this is what you do when you start, you know, smelling after the other sex that's opposite of you. He says, what he says to do there in 26, just paraphrase what I'll say 19 to 21. What is he saying there, young lion? What is he saying?
Well, the seer, what he's saying is that he's telling them to keep your own, stick with your own flock. He's saying stick with your own flock. Don't go outside of your flock or to someone that's strange. So he's telling them stick with your own flock, make with your own people, lay your seed down with your own father, and stick with your own father.
And by doing that, you have what? No. But by doing that, according to what you're reading, you have what? Look down and tell me, if you do what the man tell you do, you have what? Whatever. Let's see what verse that you pull out. He said, now, if you do this, something that will overtake you in a good way, according to one of them verses. Which one that, young lion?
Okay, he said in verse number, in verse number 21, so your race which you leave it shall be magnified, having the confidence of their good descent.
Oh, if you do it, you have confidence on what again?
Have confidence of their good descent.
Ain't that something? He said, if you do what he tell you, you do, you have confidence on good descent. Good descent. And the precept of good descent mean what? In the book of Toby, chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. What that mean, good descent? Because he's saying what you're doing, it never was what? Let's go to Toby, chapter 4, verse 10 down to verse 12. Now, he tell another old seer something to remind his boy. Tobit, chapter 4, 10 down to verse 12.
All right. We're going over to the book of Tobit. We're going to read chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 10 down to verse number 12. Verse 10 reads, because that alms to deliver from death and suffer not to come into darkness. Verse 11. For alms is a good gift unto all that give it in the sight of the Most High Yahweh. Verse 12. Beware of all whoredom, my son, and chiefly take a wife of the seed of your father, and take not a strange woman to wife, which is not of your father's tribe. For we are the children of the seers, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Remember, my son, that our fathers from the beginning, even they all married wives of their own kindred and were blessed in their children, and their seeds shall inherit the land.
Ain't that something? So when you follow the rules of the Bible, you bless. And if you don't follow the rules of the Bible, you basically cursed. Know what he's saying? You cursed because you have left your inheritance and Yahweh is not with you when you violate what he said in the book. It's up to you. He said, now you do the Bible or you lose your inheritance. So remember, you don't need to call on him, you'll lose your inheritance. That's it. What you call him for? He said, you lost your inheritance. I told you what not to do. You've been told what not to do, but you do it anyway. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, pick up verse 11, and get back to Peter one more time. We're getting back to Peter, because Peter went somewhere else. He didn't go to Rome. He went somewhere else. And we're going to see if we can take on down, and we'll close it out with this. And back on airwaves tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Let's get back to Peter real quick again in Galatians 2, 11. Let's read a little bit there, young line.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Galatians. We'll pick it up at chapter 2. We'll pick it up at verse number 11. Book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the faith, because he was to be blind. Verse 12, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the covenant, I said unto Peter before them all, if you being a Yada Judah live after the manner of Gentiles and not as do Yada Judah, why compelleth you the Gentiles to live as do Yada Judah? Verse 15.
Stop it there. Excellent. Excellent. So that's it. That's it. So Paul looked right at Peter and call him what by genetics, by what he called him straight up. He called him what? What he call? What did Paul call Peter?
Paul called Peter.
You being what?
Paul called Peter being a Yada Judah, black and beautiful.
Being Yada Judah. Now read me Jeremiah 14:2, and the closing statement is all yours. 14, now Paul looked right at Peter and called him Yada Judah. And what they look like in 14 verse 2, and it's on you for the closing statement. Catch everybody tomorrow at 6 o'clock. What they look like in 14 verse 2? Jeremiah.
Jeremiah chapter 14, picking up at verse number 2. Verse number 2 reads, Yada Judah morning in the gate thereof land. They are black and beautiful unto the ground. The crowd, y'all, I do it.
Excellent. That's it. Excellent. They black and beautiful. Peter, you be black and beautiful. Why you messing around with other peoples when you black and beautiful, Judah? Y'all mind closing statement. Excellent on your part. Catch tomorrow at 6 o'clock. It's all yours. Catch everybody tomorrow at 6 p.m. Come on, y'all line. Close it out. Go ahead.
All right. I want to thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for the opportunity of life to meet the seer, Israel, of Seed Roy. Thank you, Yahweh, for my wife and children and to be able to teach them the word of Yahweh. I'm thanking Yahweh for the elders and the mothers, the teachers,